The Torah's description of the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is very bland. It's also missing some information. Very unadorned pasuk, Vasukos teisru shivas yamim ki basukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael b'hotziosam eretz Mitzrayim. Not clear from the pasuk at which stage the Jewish people sat in their sukkot when they left Mitzrayim. Very vague reference point. Unlike the events surrounding Pesach, which are described in real time and then referenced later, namely, we are told that they ate matzah on the night of the Exodus, and then when the Torah commands the perpetual mitzvah, or the everlasting mitzvah to eat matzah, it refers back to the events. However, with Sukkot, we don't really see the Jews sitting in Sukkot in real time. It's only in Parshas Emor that in retrospect we're told that they sat in Sukkot. Not clear when they sat in Sukkot, at what stage of the departure from Mitzrayim. The whole statement about Sukkot Teshvu, and of course that very, very resonant phrase, that we're meant to sit in Sukkot so that future generations will know that Hashem sat us in Sukkot. Man Yedu, it doesn't say that we sit in Sukkot because Hashem sat us, it's so that future generations will know. So because of all these factors, Chazal read in many different layers of symbolism to the sukkah. It's more than just sitting in an abode or sitting in a hut to remember a historical event that's pedestrian in nature or logistical. But there's something deeper, possibly to that event, but even if not, to the symbolism we create of the sukkah, even unhinged or only loosely related to the original event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This series will explore four different elements of the sukkah. Possibly the one that is most dominant stems, of course, from Rabbi Eliezer, who famously argued with Rabbi Akiva. I'm just opening the Gemaras, I can read some of these Gemaras internally, as to what type of sukkos, what was the material from which those original huts were constructed. The Gemara in Sukkah, Yidalafim and Beis, quotes the Braisa, Anani ha-kavar hayu divrei b'liezer, b'kiva omer sukkos mamish asu lehem. So according to b'liezer, the material for the original sukkah were, of course, heavenly clouds. Now, that on its own isn't that compelling, necessarily, for two reasons. First of all, because anani ha-kavar could just be supernatural material as opposed to wooden or natural material. Second of all, in Anei HaKavod were the material used for those sukkos that don't necessarily affect the type of mitzvah we perform in perpetuity. But it does remind us that sukkah is more than just a logistical shelter to protect against desert conditions and desert vulnerabilities. There's a stack of five halachos which all seem to indicate that there are real halachic outcomes and consequences based on the fact that the sukkah has a status that approaches, ironically and surprisingly, Hekdesh, the world of Beis HaMikdash, the world of Shechina, and the world of Anani HaKavod. I'll list them in ascending order, the least compelling to the most compelling. The Gemara wants to know whether you have to sit in a sukkah at night or only during the day. Torah writes, Vasukos teishu shivas yamim. Does that also include the intervening nights? The Gemara Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, establishes a gzera shava between the miluim ceremony described in the end of Parshas Tzav, the vigil of 7 days during the inauguration of the Mikdash, in which the Kohanim were meant to sit there, not to sit there, to live in the Beis HaMikdash, not exit both day and night for 7 days. And since the Torah uses the word Teshvu as well to describe a sukkah, Teshvu, Teshvu, Ligzera Shava. Nemar kan Teshvu. V'nemar b'miluim Teshvu. Malahalan yamim v'afilu leilos. Afkan yamim v'afilu leilos. So it's interesting that the Gemara employs the 7-day vigil in the Mishkan as the template from which to extrapolate the 7-day quote-unquote vigil in our Sukkot, and in particular that includes nighttime experiences, not just daytime experiences. So again, this doesn't necessarily mean that the Sukkah is vested with a status or a presence of Shekhinah, but it does begin to highlight the structural comparisons between a Sukkah and a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan, and a Sukkah possibly sharing traits and elements in common with the Mishkan. Another halacha. The Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Why is the minimum height of a Sukkah, why is it 10 tefachim? Minalan. So the Gemara quotes Rav and Rav Chanina, Aron Tisha v'kaparis tefach. The height of the Aron was 9 tefachim. The kaparis was an extra tefach, and on top of those, the kruvim were sochachim b'chanfehim. Just like the height of the Aron must be 10 tefachim, the height of the Sukkah must be 10 tefachim at a minimum. Now again, this doesn't necessarily assume any essential parity between the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, and the Sukkah. The Gemara could just be highlighting the common words. The Sukkah is described as Basukos Teshuva, referring primarily to the Schach. The Schach is the Ikar HaSukkah, as Rashi reminds us in the beginning of Masech HaSukkah. The walls are secondary. Obviously, you need walls. A lot of people make this mistake and erect a Sukkah without walls. But obviously, most of the halachos pertain to the Schach. So when Torah uses the term Sochachim B'chanfeim to describe the Kruvim, were sitting atop a 10 tefach space. So the Sukkah, or the Schach of the Sukkah, must also cover or shelter a space of 10 tefachim in order to be called Schach, or by extension, a Sukkah. So once again, this is a general parallelism between the Mishkan and the Sukkah, between the Aron and the Sukkah, not necessarily transporting specific halachas of Mishkan, but the very fact that the Gzeirah Shavah in Daf Mem Gimel, or the interpretation of Ten Tefachim as the necessary airspace to create a sheltering or umbrella effect, in each case the Beis HaMikdash is used, or the Mishkan is used, as the model or the paradigm, does indicate a potential role of Mishkan for a Sukkah. A third Gemara starts to, I would say, solidify the linkage between the halachas of the Mishkan and, or korbanos in this case, and the halachas of the Sukkah. The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph and the Beis Masech HaSukkah explores why the Schach must be constructed from material which isn't Mekabel Tumah. There are several interpretations, each in their own right being very interesting. One interpretation compares the Sukkah to a Korban Chagiga. Based on the pasuk in Re'eh Chag HaSukkos Taseh Lecha, Makish Sukkah LeChagiga, the Gemara interprets the word Chag not as a holiday, but as a Korban Chagiga, which is a special Korban brought to celebrate the Yom Tov. It's a standard, generic Korban, Korban Shlomim. So the Gemara says, just like a Chagiga is a live animal, and live animals, by definition, aren't Mekabel Tumah. Similarly, the next word, Sukkos, the Schach, has to be something that can't be Mekabel Tumah. So this isn't just highlighting the employment of the word Schach and requiring 10 Tefachim, just like the term Schach requires 10 Tefachim in the Aron. This is actually transporting a halacha about a Karban to Schach. However, it isn't the central halacha about the Karban. It isn't fundamental to the Karban status as Hekdesh. It's incidental. It's not as if all Hekdesh can't be Mekabel Tumah there. In theory, you could donate items to Hekdesh that can be Mekabel Tumah. It just so happens that a Karban is a live animal. Live animals in the halachic world aren't Mekabel Tumah. So we have yet to prove that there is a halachic status of Beis HaMikdash or Kedusha to the actual Sukkah that a person builds in his backyard. But this stems from a related Gemara on Daf Tes. We're on Sukkah Daf Tes. Claims the actual Schach or Asur Bahana. This is very odd. It's also Gemara in Beitza. Because typically, Isuri Hana emanate from items which are associated either with the world of Hekdesh, the world of Beis HaMikdash, or items that have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name on them, like a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah. not only Asurbana, but for our purposes, have to be treated with similar sensitivity. Mitzvah items, such as the shofar, such as tzitzis, which aren't associated with the world of the Beis HaMikdash, and don't have Hashem's name halachically written on it, they can be discarded, they can be used for other purposes. You can use a lulav, perhaps only after Yom Tov, during the time the mitzvah would be disrespectful to the mitzvah, to repurpose it for something else. So you would expect tzchach to follow the model of mitzvah items, but yet the Gemara says, both in Beis HaDaf Lamed and in Sukkah Daf Tes, that the tzchach are asur b'hana. Amrei Reb Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Akiva Minayin La'atzei Sukkah, which in this case means the tzchach, Sha'asurim, according to most Rishonim, Sha'asurim kol shiva. Talmud Lomar, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim L'Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira explains, Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Al HaChagiga, Kach Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah, Chag HaSukkos. Quoting our same pasuk, Chag HaSukkos, the comparison between Tzchach and a Korban Chagiga, just like a Korban Chagiga has the status of Hekdesh, and consequently is Asur B'Hana, similarly, the Tzchach material is Asur B'Hana. You can't get any benefit from it, other than obviously the mitzvah itself of sitting underneath it, but you couldn't hang something on the Tzchach or other types of peripheral benefit. This is startling. It's actually a Hekdesh type halacha that applies to Tzchach. This Rana is inherent to Hekdesh. It doesn't apply by other items. Unlike, the, for example, non-Kabbalah's Torah, which is incidental to the fact that it's a live animal. This startling Gemara highlights the fact that just like, especially according to Eliezer, the original Sukkos were fashioned from Anani HaKavod, which typically mark Hashem's Shechina's arrival. Similarly, the Sukkos that we fashion with our own wood and boards recreate the presence of the Shechina. Halachically, they're vested with Kedusha and their Asur B'Hana in the same way that a carbon is. Interestingly enough, Beis Shammai took this concept one step further. Another feature of Hekdesh is that the status has to be installed by a proclamation or an action. So even Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash, anything related to the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have inherent halacha kedusha. So when Avram walks up to Har Moriah, he could in theory be tameh, because at that point, Har Moriah, Yerushalayim doesn't have halacha kedusha, and halachos of Hekdesh or Makom Kadosh don't yet apply. Obviously, it has metaphysical and historical import, but not the type of halachic status that would ban tameh people. So Beis Shammai reasons that the sukkah has to be fashioned specifically for that year's Yom Tov. You need a sukkah hasuya l'shem chag. You can't use a sukkah yeshana, last year's sukkah, because it has to be installed with the orientation towards this coming year. In the same way that Hekdesh has to be installed with an orientation towards Hekdesh, typically when you donate an animal through a verbal declaration, but there are other parts of Hekdesh that can be installed through other types of ceremonies. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, we paskin like Beis Hillel that a sukkah yeshana is kosher. Halacha l'maaseh, you have to make a slight change, but no one should paskin based on this. But by and large, you can use last year's sukkah. But certainly, Beis Shammai's position that a sukkah has to be built specifically from ground up for this chag also highlights an exporting of a Hekdesh type halacha to a sukkah. Once again, confirming the original association between sukkah and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. In truth, there are two midrashim that reinforce this. One midrash is in Shir HaShirim, based on the pasuk, Simalo tachas l'roshi v'imino techavakeni. I want the female speaking that his left hand, she hopes, will be under her head while his right hand is embracing me. So Chazal saw the left and the right embrace as a tandem of embrace, of love, of mitzvos and ceremony through which we interact with Hashem. There are many, many different interpretations, but one of them is Davar Acher, this is in the Medrash, Smalo Tachas L'Roshi Zusukka, that Hashem's hand won't be under my head. That refers to the effect of a sukkah. V'mino, and his right hand will embrace me, Z'anan HaShechina Li'asid Lava. That's the full manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina in a future period. And in future shiurim, in this series, we'll talk about the role of the sukkah in Achrit HaYamin. But just the Medrash establishes, again, a parity between the left hand, which is a sukkah, left hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and the right hand, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. So the left hand would be, in this case, a miniature right hand. Sukkah wouldn't represent the full presence of the Shechina, but the temporary presence of the Shechina. I'll talk about that again in future Shiur. The next Medrash is a Medrash in Parshas Vayera, when Avram is standing at Har Moriah, so he's standing at the Makom HaMikdash, and Reb Brechia says, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu cycles through history, and Yerushalayim really becomes once again Shalem, and complete with Hashem's presence, and universally accepted, unanimously adopted, Achu Shalem, Asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sukkah, Hashem constructs a Sukkah, presumably on Har Abayis, V'hayim Ispalel B'socha, and he davens in the Sukkah. What does he daven for? He davens for the fact that his Beis HaMikdash should be completed. Not clear whether this is in the Galus period, looking for the Bayis Shlishi, or this is in the period before the Bayis Rishon, between the Akedah and Bayis Rishon. It's based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Vav. Vahi b'shalem sukkah, Hashem builds the sukkah, according to this interpretation, in the place called Shalem, Ma'onasa b'tzion. And one day he'll build his full house in Tzion. So these two Midrashim establish the role of the sukkah as a miniature Shechina embrace, based on the Pasuk in Shir HaShir, or as a temporary housing for the Shechina until the full palace is born. Of course, these are Midrashim. The statement I made before is an actual halacha consequence that the sukkah is asur b'hana like Hekdesh, and it requires investiture, at least according to Beis Shammai, like Hekdesh. This, of course, is a very, very powerful statement about the mitzvah sukkah and the ability to create a miniature Shechina setting even without a Beis HaMikdash. It's true even when we enjoy the Beis HaMikdash, it's the fact that we can create an alternate track of Beis HaMikdash-like Shechina experience. And in fact, this came to a head when Shlomo HaMelech was about to inaugurate the first Beis HaMikdash. So in Melachim Aleph, Paraches, Shlomo is described as creating a two-week holiday, two sets of 7 days. And the first set of 7 days celebrated the inauguration of the Mikdash, and the second set of 7 days celebrated Sukkot. And it's interesting that it just so happened to have finished at that point, the overlap between the Chag of Sukkot and construction, or finishing the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara Moed Katan actually raises an interesting possibility. The Gemara actually debates Shlomo's scheduling and implies that if it weren't for the rule of Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha, not to overlap two different festive events, not to create an overlap between the week celebrating the Sukkah, the week celebrating the conclusion of the Beis HaMikdash and the week of Sukkot, Shlomo may have thought to intentionally delay the conclusion of the Beis HaMikdash construction so that it would overlap, assuming there weren't a halachic problem. The implication of the Gemara is that the celebration of Sukkot and the celebration of concluding the Beis HaMikdash are thematically similar, and they can be experience, of course, the same week, if not for the halacha concerns. Of course, if constructing a sukkah is creating a temporary, alternate, personal housing of the Shechina, then it's certainly something which is quite similar to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and hence the Gemara pondering why didn't Shlomo just schedule them simultaneously, and of course the answer is because potentially he would run afoul of a halachic stricture not to create two Yom Tovim at the same during the same period. Yet another source is the Gemara Msachim. The Gemara Msachim notes the employment of the word Rishon to describe three mitzvahs. The first day of Pesach, Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisu, which is really the pasuk the Gemara is exploring on that Gimel Men Aleph Msachim. U'lekachtem lachem Bayom HaRishon, the word Rishon to describe the Dalet Minim. And the Pasuk, which serves as the introduction for the Mitzvah of Sukkot, which also describes Yom Rishon. Ach, Bacham, Yishasa, Yom, Lachodesh, Ashvi, So Gemara interprets a very famous brisa. Bischar shlosha rishon zachu l'shlosha rishon. Based on the merit of these three mitzvahs, Am Yisrael achieved three different mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, described by the phrase rishon. What are the three mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael? Number one, building a base on mikdash. The term rishon is employed marim merishon mikdashecha. Destroying Amalek, based on Vayetzer Rishon Admoni, Amalek's great-grandfather Esav. And, of course, Mashiach, which is also described by the moniker of Rishon. Now, it's unclear which mitzvah yields which benefit. The Maharal, as I think also the Maharsha, Imsachim there, both comment that the merit of performing the mitzvah of Sukkah is yielded through the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Somehow, the mitzvah of Sukkah enables building of the Beis HaMikdash. Inasmuch as the Sukkah is an attempt to create a temporary, miniature, preliminary structure with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah, especially that medrash in Parshas Vayera where Hashem himself constructs the Sukkah waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to be fulfilled, certainly the yielding of the Beis HaMikdash based on the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is quite logical. And then finally, perhaps and most convincingly, a very famous statement of the Vilna Gaon, several times, once in his parish to the Zohar, about when sukkos actually takes place. I mentioned in the beginning of this year, it's very vague, it's very opaque. Sometime along our exodus from Mitzrayim, one would have thought perhaps the first week when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection was very evident and, of course, very necessary for this very frightened band of slaves. The Gaon says that essentially HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anani HaKavod encircled them from the moment they left Mitzrayim, based on the Psukim in the beginning of Bishalach, describing their majestic exodus. But the Anani HaKavod were removed. The Anani HaKavod were disqualified, vaporized, after the Chedegel, which makes sense. There's a pasuk describing the descent from royalty, the removal of their crowns. It makes sense that they no longer were privileged with the Anani HaKavod. Moshe descends from Har Sinai, having davened and achieved kapara for the Jewish people, with the second luchos, of course, on Yom Kippur. The next day, he gathers the Jewish people, Vayakel Moshe, and he instructs them about the fundraising campaign, the material raising, the Kickstarter for the Mishkan. The Torah describes them as baboker as bringing these materials over a two-day period. So if Moshe descends on Yom Kippur, and the commandment, or Moshe issues the instruction the next day, which is now Yud Aleph Tishrei, and then on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, they donate the materials, and then on Yud Daleth, the workers receive the materials and organize them. According to the Vilna Gaon, the construction of the Mishkan begins on the 15th of Tishrei, the first day of Sukkot, which is when the Anani HaKavod were restored. So before Shlomo, 1,000 years later, before Shlomo sensed an overlap between the construction of the Mikdash and the Anani HaKavod of Sukkos, the Mishkan was constructed on the first day of what would soon become Sukkot. Again, it's not they received the Torah, so they were commanded to sit in a Sukkah. And this adds a very important element to our Sukkot. I mentioned before, this whole concept is very empowering, that we can create a house in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is present, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But this timeline of the Vilna Gaon reminds us that we're not just creating a presence of Hashem Shekhinah, but we are actually reminding ourselves of the final consequence of tshuva. Tshuva is not repair, improvement, reform, change, although all those are included and incorporated. Tshuva is returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva elai, yeshuv aleichem. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. So it is, so it was. So it is with us, on the heels of our, hopefully, our successful tshuva. Not just our absolution and forgiveness, but our rekindling or rejuvenating our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we create a home, shelter, which Hashem's Shechina is present. And so it was, after Am Yisrael performed their first tshuva, so on the 15th, they started to build the permanent home of the Mishkan, and they celebrated their first Sukkot, again, it's hard to know whether they actually built Sukkot in the desert, because they had natural Sukkot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they certainly celebrated the first Yom Tov of Sukkot. This is why, of course, Sukkot occurs during Tishrei, which many of us feel that it should have been scheduled in Nisan on the heels of Yetzias Mitzrayim. According to the Vilna Gaon, it actually, the first Sukkot and the first restoration of Anani HaKavod and Shechina happened in the Midbar on the 15th of Tishrei. Interestingly enough, the Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Tes mentions that that year the Beis HaMikdash was inaugurated, they effectively didn't keep Yom Kippur, because the week before Sukkot was a week of celebration. And they were afraid. Perhaps we're doomed without the ceremonies of Yom Kippur. Yatzis Abbas called the Amr Lahem, Kulchem Muzmanem Machayelam Abba. This was an appropriate decision. In this light, I think some of that decision can be justified retroactively, because the week celebrating the construction of the Beis HaMikdash was a week of building enthusiasm and national excitement about the housing of the Shechina, which is really the end goal of Tshuva. And then, in theory, that year, the nation, based on very unique circumstances and the special energy the entire project generated, could leapfrog the details of Tshuva and just reach the conclusion of Tshuva and celebrate the construction of the Beis HaMikdash and then segue into the Yom Tov of Sukkot. That was a justifiable substitute for Yom Kippur that year.